Lord, we come knowing that your desire for us is to step into a lifestyle of blessing your name, of honoring you. Lord, we know that you seek out a people that worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we long for our hearts to be conformed to that image, to that place where we truly worship you by your definition of in spirit and in truth. Lord, we need by your spirit to know what you mean by that. And so we ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. We are so aware that seeing we might not see and hearing we might not hear. But apart from the Spirit of the living God bringing revelation into our hearts and lives, Lord, we'll never be able to really understand. So, Lord, we come and we ask for that this afternoon. We ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We ask that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of our calling, that we would know the riches of our inheritance among the saints, that we would know what is the height and depth and breadth and width of your love as we are rooted and grounded in that love. And Lord, we ask for a revelation of the Spirit of the living God. Father, we ask you to bypass our natural understanding, bypass our intellect, bypass our reason, and speak to us spirit to spirit, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. And we ask you to give us ears to hear what you would speak to our hearts. And we bless you. And we honor you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father. It's something that my heart's been crying out for. Well, let's see if we can kind of bring us back up to speed a little bit. We've been talking a lot about, well, this is obviously a course sort of, could God be longing for more? And I'm hoping that that's just a rhetorical question, that most of us know that he probably is, and that we don't need to really ask that question. And we've kind of come to the conclusion that what God is really looking for is a people that are willing to worship him in spirit and in truth and be completely sold out. And remember that the first week we talked about worship not having a whole lot to do with music, but the fundamental element of worship being sacrifice. And we've talked a lot about sacrifice over the last 3 weeks. We've talked about what sacrifice is. And we've talked about, last week we talked about some hindrances to sacrifice, the things that keep us from going a full 3 days journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to our God. And you remember we talked about those three different compromises that Pharaoh offered to Moses, that Moses would not fall for. You know, the first one being you can go and sacrifice, but you have to stay in the land. The second was you can go and sacrifice, but don't take your women and your children with you. Leave your affection in the land. And then the third was you can go, but don't take any of your sacrificial animals with you. Don't take anything to give. In essence, leave your resources and your wealth in the land. Okay? Well, we talked a lot about sacrifice. And we're putting this in the light of the sacrifice of praise, right? So this week, we're going to talk about praise. We're going to talk about what that is when we define it in the according to the Old Testament. Now, I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to say about these words. I tend to ask him, you know, Lord, is there anything specific you'd like me to share about these particular words? And what he said to me is he said, I don't want you to say anything about these words. He said, I don't want my people to hear this by information. These words were not meant to be information. I gave these words so that my people would experience me through these expressions of praise that I've revealed to them in my word. He says, I don't want you to say anything about them. What I really long for is for my people to experience what the reason that I gave these to begin with. I want my people to experience me through these expressions that I've revealed in the scriptures. So we're going to look at some of the words that were translated praise. We're going to look at seven different Hebrew words. that were translated praise in the King James Version of the Old Testament. Okay? And first we're going to look at a couple of key verses before we start. And we're going to start with Acts 24:14. This is something that Paul said when he was in front of the governors at Felix, and he was on trial for basically being a heretic, right? And Paul was speaking in his own defense, and he said, "This I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets." Now this word, you remember we talked a little bit about some of the words for worship, proskuneo and latreuo. And this particular word is latreia. It's a conjugation of the verb latreuo, so worship I the God of my fathers. And this is the worship that we, remember we defined this word as meaning to minister to. So basically what Paul is saying, he said, this is how I minister to the God of my fathers. I believe what's written in the law and the prophets. In other words, Paul is saying that he is using the Old Testament writing to pattern the way he serves God through his worship. That's why we want to understand some of the things and some of the expressions that were used in the Old Testament. If it's good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. So if that's the way Paul is going to pattern his worship of God, that's the way I want to pattern mine. Does that make any sense? Okay. All right. And then we're going to look at Romans 6:15 through 19. Some of you have heard me make the statement that you become a servant to whoever you yield your members. How many of you remember me saying that? All right. This is where I got this, and I felt like it would probably be good to read this little passage, because Paul is talking to the Romans, and he said, "What then, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" He says, "Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." Right? This is the passage where we coin this idea, you become a servant or a slave to whoever you yield your members. And part of the reason that we want to study the praise words of the Old Testament is to learn how we can yield our members to righteousness. I used to believe that praise was optional. And of course, everything in God is optional. God will never force us to do anything that we don't want to do. Anything that we choose to do, it's all optional in a sense. But if we have made the determination that we want to go that full 3 days into the wilderness, and if we've made this determination that we want to be worshipers in spirit and truth, there are principles that we must learn to apply to our lives if we want that to, if that's really where we want to go. Does that make any sense? Okay, so we want to study these words to learn how to really yield our members to righteousness. All right, we're going to look at the word praise. And the first thing I want to say about the word praise is that it's a generic word. Okay, the word praise is a generic word. All right, and I'll describe that. I'll see what I mean by that. Exercise is a generic word. Right? There are all different forms of exercise. You can walk, you can swim, you can go to the gym and bench press, you're going to work out with weights, and there's all different forms of exercise. Exercise is the generic word that covers a whole bunch of specific activities that we involve ourselves in. Right? It's the same with praise. As we begin to study praise, we'll find out that praise is a generic word. But there are some very specific forms of praise that God has called his people to, and each one of those forms of praise actually accomplishes something different in the realm of the Spirit. Right? If I want to develop my biceps, I can walk for hours and hours and miles, and I can run marathons and all of that, and I can do all this exercise, but it won't do any good for developing my biceps. Does that make sense? It's a form of exercise, but it's not the exercise that will develop what I want to develop. And we got to get this concept, because there are forms of praise that God has said will develop certain spiritual things in His people. And we want to understand what those are. At least I want to understand what those are. All right. So I want to say again, too, before we even get into the words, that the words that are translated praise in Scripture, in the Old Testament, are not the only valid expressions of praise. All right? But they're words that describe a general attitude as opposed to a specific expression. Okay? So each of these praise words will basically express an attitude of heart and not necessarily a specific expression, though some of them actually are a specific expression. We'll get to that in a minute. All right. Now, here's an understanding, an illustration of how understanding all these different words will help for us. And it is Psalm 147:1, and I'd like us to look at that. This is how we read it in English. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Now that sounds pretty cool, right? And we like that, because obviously there's praise is good and praise, God likes praise, and we're exhorted to do that. What most of us might not realize, however, when we read this, is thus actually three different Hebrew words translated praise in that verse. All right? This verse actually says, Hallel the Lord, and we'll get to that. You won't need to write this down. It actually says, Hallel the Lord, for it is good to zamar to our God, for it is pleasant, and tachila is beautiful. That's what it says in the Hebrew. So to the Hebrew, this doesn't just say praise, praise, praise. To the Hebrew, this says, Hallel zamar tachila. Is what it says. When we begin to understand the different dynamics of those words, this is why it's kind of cool for us to study these things, because we just think praise, 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 and a lot of people just think praise is praise, but it's not in the biblical sense. All right. Now here's another, a little interesting little fact about all these praise words. We're going to talk about seven of them. I'm going to talk about four, and then Dee's going to come and talk about three of the seven. But this is a really interesting fact about these seven that we're going to talk about, and that is, out of these seven words, only one of them has a specifically musical connotation. And that is the word zamar. We'll talk about that at length in a bit. Okay. Only one of them does the word itself have a specifically musical connotation. It's the word zamar. Now the word tequila that we're getting ready to look at, it has an implied musical connotation, but it's not necessarily musical. Okay? And I'm pointing this out because most of us, when we think of praise, the first thing we think of is musical. And there's nothing wrong with that, because our music is praise. I mean, the word zamar does specifically expresses what we almost always think of as praise and what we enter into. But we very seldom enter into the other forms of praise. All right. So let's look at the first one. I'm going to look at the first one. It's the word tachila. And the first thing I want to point out about this word, by the way, these are root words. What I'm giving you are root words, and there are various different forms of words. Most of us are familiar with other languages, and we realize that words can take a lot of different forms. When you, particularly like Spanish, the Spanish verbs, for example, the form of the verb changes depending on who's acting it and whether it's plural and whether it's singular or who's doing it or whether it's formal or informal. And the verb, but what I'm giving you are the roots of these words. So if you go to look up scriptures and you find a different form of this word, don't panic. I'm just giving you the roots where these come from. The main root, this word is the word tequila. It comes, it's a noun, and I want to point that out. Most of us probably remember from first year grammar that a noun is a person, place, or a thing. A verb is an action. A verb is something you can do. A noun is something that you have. All right? And I'm going to emphasize this over and over and over and over again about this particular word, because it is not something that we do. It's something that we have. It is a noun. It is something that God says is a noun. And that's a very important for us to understand when we see this word, that to realize that it's not an action or an activity that we can involve ourselves in. It is a noun. It is something that we have. Okay? All right. We'll see that in a little bit. It comes from the word halal. It comes from the root word halal, and Dee's going to talk about that, so I'm not going to steal her thunder. So, yeah. Oh, thank you for it. There's an at symbol there because in the original Hebrew, there were no vowels. It was just consonant, 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 consonant. And this, the at symbol is there because it will show itself in different forms, sometimes T-E, sometimes T-A, as we transliterate it. And so when you, in some of the resource books you look at, when they're not real sure or whether the, or when the vowel can change, they just put an at to signify that the vowel sound can change in the midst of it, okay? And it's a riot when you're doing this with a word processor because it will always underline it and think it's a link. So you can email to t@hela. When you write it with your word processor, if you use autocorrect, it thinks it's an email address. All right? But that's why it's there. Okay. And thank you for asking that. All right. It comes from halal. It is translated praise, and that's the only way it's translated in the King James. It occurs 57 times in the King James version of the word tequila occurs in 57 different verses in the Old Testament, and it is always translated praise in the King James. And I'm fairly certain it's always translated praise in some of the other translations as well. Now, it comes from halal, but what differentiates it from halal is that it is his. It's his. It's God's. All right? David said that God put it there, and David called it God's when he talked about tequila, when he talked about this word. And I'll show it to you. Here's what David said. He has put a new song in my mouth, tequila to our God. God put it there. The new song in his mouth. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. That's Psalm 40, verse 3. All right, Psalm 35, 8. My tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise, your tequila. Your righteousness, God, and your tequila, your praise all the day long. In Psalm 48, 10, according to your name, O God, so is your praise. So is your tequila. All right? To the ends of the earth, your right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 51:15. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your tequila, your praise. All right? And God said that he was not going to give it to idols. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give another, nor my tequila to carved images. Okay? Now, I want us to understand that this is something that God puts in His people. In essence, it is Him. It is Christ in you. One of the best ways that I have heard this word described is that Tequila is the song of the Spirit, the indwelling song of the Spirit that God puts inside of His people. It is Christ in you. It is Him inside of you. Look at this. I love this passage, Deuteronomy. He is your Tequila. And He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. That's Deuteronomy 10:21. He is your Tequila. There's something going on inside of every one of us, a little worship service that's happening in the inside of us that He put there. That He put there. That's Tequila. That's Him in you. It's His praise, and it's something you have. It's not something you can do. It's something that's inside of you. Now, I'm pointing all of this out because how many of you have heard the passage, He's enthroned on the praises of His people? Huh? That's this. It's where He sits enthroned. You are holy. Psalm 22:3. You are holy, enthroned in the Tequila of Israel. That's where God dwells. That's where He is enthroned. That's where He lives. And I'm sharing this because He's not enthroned on other forms of praise. A lot of times we will go into a praise service and we will try to do something that will invoke the presence of God. But that's not where He is. We release something from inside of us that He is enthroned upon. That makes sense? It's a completely different way of thinking than a lot of people have learned to think. It's not something we can do, it's something we have. He's enthroned. And as we open our mouths and release Him from out of us, that's where the real power of corporate praise comes in. That's why when people get together, large groups of people or even small groups of people, if people are actively involved in releasing their song to the Lord, it releases His presence and we experience His presence in our midst. He's enthroned on the Tequila of His people. Okay. It's also where He is mighty and victorious. Exodus 15:11. Who is like You, O Lord among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in Tequila, doing wonders? Fearful in Tequila. And most of us are familiar with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:22, when they began to sing and to sing Tequila. To sing praises. To sing and to praise. Now that word is Tequila. Now I have to point this out because I just took a lot of time talking about how this is a noun. And this particular one looks like it's a verb, doesn't it? When they began to sing and to praise. Looks like it's a verb. But it really isn't. I mean, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. And here's how I can describe it. We have a word for a rock. Right? That we say, we call it a stone, don't we? Right? And stone, that when we use the word stone, we can use it as a noun, or we can use it as a verb, but you cannot stone somebody without throwing the noun, without throwing the stone. You can't stone somebody with a baseball. All right? So when you see it like this, and it's Tequila, it's still what probably more accurately translated would be now when they began to sing and to release their Tequila. Does that make sense? And to praise. So it looks like it's a verb in this one, but it's still a noun. And when you look it up and go to the root, you'll see in Strong's this is a noun. Okay? All right. So when they began to praise Tequila, and that's where it brought victory. It brought military victory. And it's powerful. Our tequila is powerful. All right? Well, it also, this is the kind of praise that brings us into His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. We will see later that that word is the word todah, thanksgiving, and we're going to look at that one too. And into His courts with tequila. Be thankful, yada, Him, and Barak, His name. And we're going to look at all of those words ultimately before the end of the evening. Okay? But it's tequila that brings us into His courts. Now, you remember I talked, I think, last week or the week before, how sometimes what we do is we tend to think that these are requirements that God gives us. Where He says, when you come in, you have to bring thanks. And when you come into My courts, you have to bring praise. But you remember we talked about that being a key, that it's thanksgiving that brings us into His gates and praise that brings us into His courts. It's that tequila praise that brings us into His courts. And when the Scripture is speaking of courts in this sense, it's talking about the holy place in the tabernacle. Not the outer courts, the inner courts. All right. Here's another thing tequila does, and I love it. It clothes God's people, and it transforms them. Isaiah said in verse 61, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of tequila for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Now, this one's an interesting one, because I, for one, for a lot of years, when I would be discouraged and depressed and beat down, I would try to praise because I knew that the garment of praise was supposed to overcome the spirit of heaviness. And so I would halal and zamar and yada and todah and barak and wonder why I was not finding any victory and why I couldn't throw off that spirit of heaviness. Because I did not understand that this is a specific form of praise that actually brings victory over those things, that clothes me. It's something that God has put on inside of me, something that I can't do. It's only something that I can yield to. It's something that I can enter into, but it's not something that I can do. And when I would be discouraged, I would try to do and do and do and do and do and do and do all these different kinds of praise so I wouldn't feel discouraged anymore. And it never worked. And I'd think, man, there's something wrong with me because I'm supposed to be able to praise my way out of this. I don't know if that's hitting anybody, but it would. If I would pray, I'd try and try and try and try to overcome all this stuff by doing all this praise that's supposed to make me victorious in that, and then I would think there was something wrong with me and my walk with God when I didn't understand that really it's the praise that overcomes. The praise that clothes us, the praise that draws us into His presence is not anything that we can do. It's only something that we can tap into that's already inside of us. Does that make sense? Okay, I want us to understand that. When we get it, if we get this in the Spirit, it will revolutionize our walk with God. It will revolutionize the victory that we live our everyday lives out of. All right, here's another thing that tequila does. It protects. It forms a barrier against the enemy. Isaiah 60:18. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates tequila. Your gates praise. You know what? Gates are where the enemy go in and out of the city, or where people or whatever comes in and out of the city. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have found that there are gates in my life when the gates are burned. In fact, when you start reading the history of the temple and the history of Jerusalem, and you're reading in the scriptures about how the gates were burned in the book of Nehemiah, and his heart was broken because the gates were burned and there were the hinges were falling off the hinges and all of that. His concern was because the enemy had access. He could come in and out of the city. That's a picture of us. When our gates are burned and our gates are down, the enemy has access and he can come in and out. Tehillah will build your gates. It will build your gates. You shall call your gates Tehillah. And it will provide a stronghold in your life where the enemy no longer has access. It will provide a barrier to the access that the enemy has. All right. And one more time, I want to really emphasize this. You can't do it. You can only yield to it or release it. You can't do Tehillah praise. It's only something that you can release or yield to. It's something that God put in there. Now, I personally believe that when Paul was writing to the Corinthians in the first letter that he wrote to them in chapter 14, when he said that he would pray in the with his understanding and he would pray in the Spirit also, that he would sing in the Spirit and sing with his understanding also, I believe that when he talked about singing in the Spirit, that what he was referring to was Tehillah praise. The Spirit of God singing through him. This worship service that goes on that is not us, but it's Christ in us, interacting directly with his Father in song. And that God put it in there. That's what David said. He put this new song in my mouth. Tehillah. And when we release that, it's powerful. Extremely powerful. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, not in that much detail in some of the rest of these, but I really wanted to emphasize this one because it's the one that I feel like is the least understood in the modern church world. Most of us don't get this, or most of us have never heard it, or it's never really been taught to us that way. And so we think that that praise is something that we have to do, and we don't realize that the Holy Spirit's in us, and he's praising God 24/7. And we can tap into that and release that, and when we do, that's what transforms us. And that's where we find our victory. All right. Next one we're going to look at, this is something you can do. This is yada. Yada. And it is a verb. It comes from the root word yad in Hebrew, which means hand, literally. And this one is, it shows up in, gosh, I didn't add up all the verses, but it's translated praise 53 times. It's translated give thanks or thanks to give thanks 32 times. It's translated confess 16 times, thank 5 times, make confession twice, thanksgiving twice, cast once, cast out once, shoot once, and thankful once. It shows up, 114 times total. But in the King James, 53 times it's translated praise, but 32 times it's translated to give thanks. And implicit in this word picture, the picture that it carries with it is the thrusting forth of the hand. It's one of these. I've heard it referred to as a militant salute before God. But it's the thrusting forth of the hands in thankfulness. Okay? That's what this one signifies. All right? It's actually the derivative of the name Judah. It's where we get the name Judah. This is the first time we see this word show up in Scripture in Genesis 29:35. And this is when Judah's mom, Leah, right, she conceives and bores a son and says, now I will praise the Lord. I will yada the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Yehudah. Judah. Yehudah. That's where we get his name. And it means praise. Most of us know that Judah means praise. It's this form of praise. She was so thankful for her son. I will give thanks to my God. I will call my son Yehudah. Praise. Judah. Right? That's, and Judah was the tribe that always went first in bringing the presence of God. Okay. All right. So the key element in this particular word is thankfulness. It's translated, as I've already mentioned, 32 times. It's translated, give thanks. Okay. Psalm 9:1. Here's one example. And by the way, you don't necessarily have to write down all of these passages of Scripture. You can, if you want, jot the references. But you're going to find in your notes, the last couple of pages of your notes, I gave you every reference where each one of these words was translated. It's all in your notes back there. So you will have, and my prayer is that some of you, it would be even awesome if all of you went through and read all of those different verses, understanding a little better about which form of praise applies to which verse. And sometimes you're going to find out that, like, there's three or four different forms of words that have all been translated praise, all in the same verse. But anyhow, that's just an aside. Okay. David says, I will yada you, Lord, with my whole heart in Psalm 9:1. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will yada him. I will thank him. I will offer my thanks. I will thrust forth my hands in thanksgiving with my song. I will do that, is what David was saying. All right? Now, I love studying David because he had an incredible revelation of the power of praise. And in fact, God said in Acts 15:16 that in the last days he would restore the tabernacle of David. Remember we talked a little bit about that? So that the remnant of mankind would seek the Lord. And we know that David's tabernacle was characterized by musical expression. Right? With his song, he would yada. Right? And it's actually, it wasn't until David's day that music was really associated with worship to begin with. But David really understood. I believe that David was an Old Testament guy with a New Testament revelation. He understood that it wasn't the sacrifices of bulls and goats that God was really after. He understood that all of those things foreshadowed, first of all, the sacrifice of his son to be the firstborn among many brethren, and then us as a royal priesthood offering our own lives as living sacrifices before the Lord. And he understood that that would be through expressions of praise, through dancing and clapping and shouting and singing and rejoicing and all of those things. All right, so I love looking at David's life, and I want to look at a little bit at how David incorporated Yada, and of course the first one was musically. He did that. Now Yada doesn't imply necessarily a musical expression, but like Tehillah sort of has this implicit idea that this is a song and that this will be a musical thing. Zamar explicitly means, and we'll look at it in a second. It means something musical. Yada doesn't necessarily imply something musical, but we can certainly use music to yada. David did, right? And this is how he did it. Psalm 32:2. Yada the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Now this is an offering of thanksgiving to God with the harp, a musical offering, right? Psalm 43:4. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, to my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will yada you. I will praise you, O God, my God. All right. This is also the kind of praise that David turned to when he was discouraged. All right? It's the kind of praise that he turned to when he was discouraged. Psalm 42:11, and also, parenthetically, Psalm 43:5. Both of them say the same thing. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet yada him. I shall yet thrust forth my hands in offering of thanksgiving to my God. The help of my countenance and my God. It was what David turned to when he was discouraged. All right. He also offered this praise wholeheartedly. Right. Psalm 86:12. I will yada you, Lord, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. That's Psalm 86:12. Psalm 111:1. Praise the Lord. That actually happens to be the word halal, the first one. Halal the Lord. I will yada the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. All right? He also offered it freely, and I might add that I didn't write in your notes, sacrificially. Psalm 54:6, I will freely sacrifice to you, I will yada your name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 54:6. He offered it publicly. Psalm 57:9, I will yada you, O Lord, among the peoples, I will zamar to you among the nations. That's Psalm 57:9, also Psalm 108:3. They're two identical verses, but he mentions that in two different psalms. Psalm 109:30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will halal him among the multitude. I will praise him among the multitude. And I might mention, again Psalm 111:1. It's not in your notes, but this is the one where he actually says, I will yada the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Okay, so he did it publicly. It's something that David also prayed that people would offer. He prayed that other people would offer this kind of praise. When David prayed, it was his heart that others would understand the power in offering thanksgiving to their God. All right, Psalm 67:3, let the peoples yada you, O God. Let all the peoples yada you. Let all the people praise you. David understood the power of offering God your life in a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and his prayer was that his whole, as the king, he was praying that the people would understand that and move themselves into a place of offering God thanksgiving. All right? He also said four different verses in Psalm 107, in verses 8, 15, 21, and 31, you say this, oh, that men would give thanks, yada. In the King James, that word's translated praise. It says in the King James, it says give thanks in the New King James and some of the other translations, but it's the word yada. Oh, that men would yada to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's Psalm 107, verses 8, 15, 21, and 31. All say that. So in that psalm, David said that four times. His desire to see people move into that. All right. He offered it to God in purity and with revelation. Psalm 119:7. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. I will yada you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. See, when what I think David is saying here is, as he begins to understand God's word, he understands the power of praise. And an upright heart. As I begin to understand your word, I understand the uprightness of heart that you desire, and I will offer you this thankfulness with uprightness of heart. I will offer myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, because your Son made me upright in heart. Okay? All right. We're done with Yada. And we're going to move to the next one, Zamar. We've mentioned this one. This is something that we also can do. This is a verb, all right? It shows up 45 times in the Old Testament. 26 times it's translated praise in the King James. 16 times it's translated sing. Twice it's translated sing psalms, and once it's translated sing forth. All right, so this is the one that is specifically musical. It has the root of the word means to strike with the fingers. To strike with the fingers, and that's where we get the idea of instrumental praise. Or instrumental, because this word, it explicitly means to play an instrument, to strike with the fingers. All right. So this is an instrumental song of praise with the inherent understanding that our voices are instruments. So it includes singing. This is the kind of praise that we usually think of when we hear the word praise, particularly in the more charismatic or Protestant circles. This is the kind of expression that we think of when we hear the word praise. We praise the Lord. We're usually thinking of Zamar. We're usually thinking of something instrumental and offering songs to the Lord. All right? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's biblical and it's an awesome thing to do. And David understood it, and there's a whole lot of power in it. If we realize that that's the vehicle through which we can offer some of the rest of this praise. We can offer our thanksgiving through our zamar. We can offer our tehillah through our zamar. Does this make sense? Is this making sense? And we can tap into something that's a whole lot deeper, that's a heart issue and not just a do thing, not just a doing something for the sake of doing it or because we're supposed to. It's a releasing of the innermost man and the offering of ourselves as a sacrifice through this form of praise. Now, this is one that is inherently the musical expression used in the Old Testament, right? Now, it's kind of interesting that this shows up in 41 different verses, 45 times in 41 verses. 37 of those verses are in the Psalms. Only 4 of the verses that contain this word Zamar show up outside of the Psalms. And what that means is that when you see the word praise in the Old Testament, and it's not in the book of Psalms, it probably isn't Zamar. It probably isn't what we usually think about when we think about praise. Unless it's in the Psalms. If it's in the Psalms, it could be this one. But it could also be some of the others. All right. Here's a couple of them we'll just look at. I will praise the Lord, Psalm 717. That's actually Yada. I will Yada the Lord according to his righteousness and will Zamar, will sing praise to the name of the Lord my God, the Lord Most High. Psalm 47, 6 and 7. This is Zamar to God, Zamar, Zamar to our God, Zamar. For God is King of all the earth, Zamar with understanding. Sing praises, sing praises, sing praises, sing praises. 5 times in 2 verses. I will zamar, sing praises to God. All right. Psalm 68:4. Sing to God, zamar to his name. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. By his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Okay. Todah. This is the last one I'm going to talk about. Then we're going to take a short break. And then Dee's going to talk about 3 more. the other three. All right? Todah, this is also a noun. This is something that you have. It's not something that you do. And it actually is translated 18 times thanksgiving. It's only translated praise 6 times in the King James. But it is translated praise. And it's normally translated thanksgiving. And this is the noun form of yada. This is the noun form of yada. And it's an extension of the hand in thanksgiving, in essence. It's very similar to yada, but this is what you are giving in yada. You are giving your todah. You are giving your thanks. So this is kind of like, this is the tahila that you offer through halal. Remember I said that tahila was a form of the word halal? Through your halal, you can offer what you have, but it's not something that you can do. In the same way, todah is your thanks. Is thanks is something that you have that you give to God through yada, through the thrusting forth of the hand. Does that make sense? Now, maybe I'm splitting hairs, but these are just words that show up that have been translated praise in the Old Testament. Okay? And I'm hoping that this will be helpful to us in understanding that there are different kinds of praise that we offer. I think I've already said that this is the noun form of yada. It's the substance of the thanks that we give to Him. It's the substance of what we're offering to Him. Here's a couple of verses where you see it. Psalm 50:23. Whoever offers todah glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Whoever offers thanks. All right. Psalm 104. Enter into his gates with todah. Take your todah with you when you go in. Right? And into his courts with tehillah. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That word bless is like barak. Dee's going to talk about that one. Psalm 147:7. Sing to the Lord with todah, with thanksgiving. Sing praises, zamar, on the harp to our God. And by the way, that first sing right there is a word we haven't looked at. It's a different word that really just means sing. Sing. Okay. All right. And Jeremiah 17:26. Going to wrap up with this one. They shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of todah to the house of the Lord. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, the sacrifice of todah in the house of the Lord. Okay. Now I'm trusting that these will help us understand when we look at praise and we're talking about worship in spirit and in truth and David understanding that it's about bringing our sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, that this will help us find different expressions of these different things as we come before our God with thanksgiving, with the song that He's put inside of us. Dee's going to share three more, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And then I will come back to the recap. I think in your notes now it says recap, and it just kind of a recap of all the words. And then we're going to do a little activation too. And we're going to practice some of this. That's tequila, not tequila.